talking to me?
Funny like I'm a clown, I use you.
Here's Johnny.
He's looking at you, kid.
We're on a mission from God.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
We are Movie Geeks. Welcome to the We Are Movie Geeks podcast. My name is Tom Stockman.
This is Jim Batts.
Michelle McHugh is not here today. We miss Michelle, but we have Dane Marty sitting in for Michelle. Hello, Dane.
Hi, how are you doing?
Thank you for coming. Dane is a contributing writer to our website, wearemoviegeeks.com. And Dane is the only person in the room who has seen two of the movies that we're going to be talking about this morning. So, Dane, we're glad you are here.
Thank you.
How long have you been writing for We Are Movie Geeks? A couple of years?
A few years, yes.
Good. You contribute when we need your help, and we do appreciate it. How long have you been a movie buff? Your whole life?
Oh, my whole entire life. I saw things like 2001 when I was a little kid with my parents, and Planet of the Apes, the original ones, and Bullet. And yes, I've loved movies my entire life.
Good. Who are some of your favorite directors?
Oh, definitely probably Alfred Hitchcock, Orson Welles, Stanley Kubrick, and David Lynch, Steven Spielberg. The usual suspects.
Mm-hmm. How about some of your favorite all-time movies? You once told me that Close Encounters is your favorite movie of
yes.
all time.
Yes, it is.
Is it still?
Oh, definitely, yes. Really? I like Citizen Kane also, Vertigo, Bridge on the River Kwai, On the Waterfront, Un Chien Andalou, which is a short Salvador Dali Louis Benuel film, King Kong, The Searchers, The Bicycle Thief, you know.
Is Pixels in your top 10?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't expect it to be. Now, you and I went to Kirkwood High School together.
Yes, we are pioneers.
That's right. We are pioneers of Kirkwood High School.
My grandfather was the football coach there for many years.
Oh, yeah. What year did you graduate from KHS?
1982.
Okay, so you're a couple years behind me.
Yes.
Tell me about some of your favorite actors. Who are some of your favorite actors and actresses?
Well, definitely, as an actress, I like Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Oh, yeah. You know, she's on Quentin Tarantino's new movie.
Is she really?
Yeah, you didn't know that.
No, I did not know that.
She's the only female of The Hateful Eight.
She's one of the great, I shouldn't say unsung, but a great actress. In actors, I really like, you know, James Stewart, James Dean, Peter Sellers, Alec Guinness, Marlon Brando.
Adam Sandler.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, you're like me. I always think my favorite actors and actresses, and I can name like 20 actors that I just love and I'm obsessed with, and actresses, it's usually more cult figures like, you know, Barbara Steele or Carolyn Monroe or Pam Grier or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, well, what we like to do is talk about the top 10 at the box office. I wonder what happened. Usually Michelle sort of leads this discussion, but since Michelle is not here, Ant-Man was number one with $24.8 million. Did you see Ant-Man, Dane?
No, I haven't.
Boy, it just kind of snuck by the second place finisher there. It's less than a million difference, isn't there?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Pixels did 24.0, just 0.8 less than Ant-Man. And Dane saw Pixels and actually liked it pretty much.
Donkey Kong.
It's just a barrel. How bad can it hurt?
The buzz about Pixels is that it's better than the trailer. That'll be on the DVD box. It's better than the trailer.
And we're damning with faint praise.
Yeah. My problem is right after I see a movie, whatever it is, I normally am thinking of all the things I liked about it. Mm-hmm. And then as the days go on, I slowly start to come back to reality. Mm-hmm. It's an enjoyable movie.
Yeah.
It's amusing.
Yeah.
It has, I have a degree in digital animation.
Yeah.
So I found the effects very good. And I like the fact that it's from, starts out dealing with the early 80s and arcade games. It's not a work of art. It's not La Strada. It's not meant to be, I don't think.
Well, if it's a little more watchable than Sandler's last few flicks have been, that's something to say at least.
Yeah.
You know, his quality bar is pretty low.
Who else was in it? It was Kevin James.
Yes, as the president.
He's the president. And little Peter Dinklage. How was Peter Dinklage on the big screen?
I thought
he was
not a bad actor. He was pretty good in the movie.
Okay.
Yeah, he may be the biggest star right now of the bunch of them because of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And I'm one of the few people on Earth that has not seen Game of Thrones because I don't have... I read the first book and loved it, but I just have stuck on TCM.
Well, yeah. I have not watched it either, so you're not alone. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, Dane, you reviewed Pixels for WeAreMovieGeeks.com, and you gave it 3 out of 5 stars. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the buzz, is that it's better than people expected. I think it's – where is it on the Rotten Tomatoes? About 40
about
or something?
24, I thought.
24, is that all?
Yeah. Oh.
Some I read a review, I think, for – I don't know who she was at Yahoo. She thought it was very male chauvinist.
Pixels?
Yes, she was very angry about it, in fact, and I was like, I think she's taking this a little more seriously.
Some people have too much time on their hands.
All right.
Number 3 was Minions, which we talked about last week. That was 22 million. Trainwreck was 17.3 million. It probably would have made more if some nutcase hadn't shot up a theater showing it the other day. You know, the least violent movie on this list. That's where the guy with the gun shows up. But we all saw Trainwreck. Did you see Trainwreck, Dane?
No, I have not.
Okay. Jim and I saw it.
Oh, yeah. Very entertaining.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've seen this clip of her being interviewed by these Australian radio people. Have you heard about that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this guy takes the wrong tact with his questions with her, and she goes after him. So I highly recommend you looking for that.
Huh. Did it have something to do with what the tragedy that happened? Or?
No. This was about her character in the film, and he called her a phrase that sounds like skunk. And she says, at the end of the thing, the guy that said it, his co-host, is trying to, smooth things over. And she said, all right, good luck on your next film. And she says, yes, I want to make a next film so he can interview me. I was like, boom.
Yeah. Well, good for Amy Schumer. Southpaw was number 5. Southpaw, I think, is about 55% at the Rotten Tomatoes, which is lower than I would expect. You know, the previews look so promising. Mm-hmm. And the reviews have been sort of middling. I think I read one review. It says it's like it's a boxing movie for people who have never seen a boxing movie in their life. It's every cliche of boxing movies is included in Southpaw. I have not seen it. So.
Yeah. Well, the thing with his daughter is something new. I don't think that's been really explored before. I don't know. I'm a little surprised that it's at that position. I would have thought that the film next would have been done better because of it's based on a book. So.
Yeah.
Who directed it?
Oh, Southpaw? Mm-hmm. Anton Fuqua.
Yeah. Okay. He did Training Day, which won Denzel Washington's second Oscar, and he's been around.
Yeah, did he recently do The Equalizer with
was excellent. That almost made my top 10 list last year. But yeah, you alluded to Paper Towns, which came in number 6. That is surprising, isn't it?
I
think the teen movie, what was it, Fault in Our Stars, but same novelist, same producer. You think that that would have packed them in like Fault in Our Stars, and I wonder why it didn't do as well. It only did 12 million.
Okay, now that was fun.
I can feel my heart beating in my chest.
That is the way you should feel your whole life.
It's beautiful.
It's a paper town. Paper houses and paper people. Everything's uglier up close.
Aren't you?
Well, no one was dying in this one. Maybe that was the thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I'm a little surprised. I mentioned in my review that I thought that maybe John Green was becoming sort of a franchise himself, sort of a brand name. They didn't come out for it. I'm a little surprised. But the film itself, I probably enjoyed a little better than Fault in Our Stars. Mm. But, boy, it's precious.
You reviewed it, and you gave it what? 1.5, I think, or 2?
Maybe 2.5, something like that. But yeah, I think my main problem is that in it, and a couple of critics have mentioned this, is the magic pixie girl, which is a fixture in a lot of films. You know, Natalie Portman in Garden State, Kirsten Dunst in Elizabethtown. You know, that there's a mopey guy that's in a rut and he meets this woman that's a free spirit and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what this is. But for teenagers in high school, I don't know how to pronounce her name. Cara Delevingne, I guess is...
perfect. She's,
close enough, I would say. Yeah. But yeah, I just couldn't stand her character of M. I just thought she was a spoiled brat.
But she puts an M on everything, doesn't she?
Oh, she thinks she's Zorro, a hipster Zorro.
Yeah.
And
what's the basic premise though? She's his neighbor, and she runs away or something.
Well, they grew up in grade school, and they were fast friends there. But you know what happens when you get into high school? You kind of drift apart, and somehow she's sort of the queen bee of the high school. She's the popular girl, and you know, in the scenes, the dialogue scenes between her and her neighbor Q, that's Quentin, she's speaking in this sort of stilted, kind of odd delivery, and I just couldn't imagine her being, you know, almost the homecoming queen of the school. And she just sort of hooks him into doing this night of vandalism with her. And she's got no consideration for him. She just wants him because he's got access to a car. And after this night of vandalism, he thinks that they've become closer and they're friends again. But she doesn't show up at school and keeps, you know, being absent. And finally everyone figures out that she's run off, and her parents just, you think, oh, well, she's going to come back. But he knows that she's left clues, so it becomes like a little detective thing, a little Hardy Boys deal.
So that's the conflict. She's vanished.
Yeah, yeah.
Does anybody I know play any of the parents? Anybody I
know? No,
I'm not familiar
I don't
with these young actors at all.
Yeah, I was going to say Nat Wolff, you probably saw in Fault in Our Stars, and you might have
seen
in Palo Alto. And I think his mother is played by Cara Buono, or Buona. And she was in Mad Men a couple of seasons ago, and she was the Hulk's mother in the Ang Lee Hulk, if you recall that. That's a long time ago, I know. But, yeah, there's no big stars in it. Of course, Quentin has a couple of quirky friends, and you're supposed to laugh at their little you know, bits there. The one, I think his name is Ben, he gets a nickname of Bloody Ben because there was blood in his urine, and I was like, oh, that's funny, you know, so the girls won't want to get with him.
Nothing funnier than bloody urine.
Yes, yes. Well, it's
I can't wait to run out and see this movie.
Oh, it's a little funnier than the other kid's quirk. His name is Radar, and he's got a girlfriend, and he's afraid that if his girlfriend sees what his parents are into, that she'll dump him. That's because his parents are into Black Santa. And so the whole house is decorated with images of Black Santa. Yeah. There's lots of loving close-ups of everything, and you're supposed to find that hysterically funny.
I'm laughing on the inside.
Oh, it's not. It's not. And, of course, he figures out where she is. A paper town, it refers to a fake made-up town that map makers would put on maps as sort of their way to catch people ripping them off and copying the maps without their authority. Is like, oh, this town doesn't exist and you have it in your map, so that's not right. And it's like I say, it's just too cute for words. And I'm not, you know, really rooting for, you should be rooting for them to get back together, and I'm not, because I think, you know, she's taken off, and it's trying to make running away into some sort of rebellious cool act, and it's not.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous.
It sounds like something I would hate.
A lot of young people wouldn't get any special messages from it or anything like that?
Oh, besides, you know, running away is cool and vandalism is cool. No, Tom, this is the movie that would make you embrace Meryl and the Dying Girl.
I don't know about that. I think I would rather...
You would appreciate it more after suffering through this.
Yeah, I would rather stick hot needles in my eye. All right, so that was... So Jim doesn't like Paper Towns so much, so we don't recommend it. I have no intention of seeing it. Actually, my kids and my wife saw it over the weekend, so I'm off the hook on that one.
Oh, dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, number 7 was Inside Out, and it beat Jurassic World. I think that's the first time Inside Out has beat Jurassic World at the box office, barely. And I've seen that 3 times. It's wonderful.
Jurassic World?
No, Inside Out. I've seen Jurassic World twice. I've been out of the loop, though. I had out-of-town company in, so I didn't get to any movies. The only movie I've seen in the past week at the theater was Mad Max Fury Road for the 4th time. I had a friend in from out of town, and he hadn't seen it, so I go, dude, we're going to go see it. We saw it at 10 o'clock over at the Dollar Show, which is actually $4. That's still my favorite movie of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Inside Out was 7. Jurassic World was number 8 with 6.9. Mr. Holmes is moved up from number 10 to number 9.
Nice.
With 2.8 million.
I wonder if it got a few more theaters there.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it did or not. I'm not hearing a whole lot of buzz about it. I know we talked about, we think Ian McKellen will probably get an Oscar nomination. I hope he does. I still haven't seen it, but I like him, and he looks great in this film.
Oh, terrific film!
Yeah, but why would they? That seems like more of a November release to me.
Yeah, that's an odd marketing move. Yeah. Unless they know something, you know, about the that there's just going to be a flood of Oscar caliber stuff starting in October. I think they could have at least held it till September, maybe, or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Boy,
summer wasn't a good time for it to come out.
You wanted to
get Oscar buzz, and
that's why we couldn't understand why Love and Mercy came out so early in summer.
Yeah.
You know, that's more of a fall film. But
And number 10 was Terminator Genesis, which I have seen 2 times, and it's a lot of fun too. Jim didn't like Terminator Genesis so much.
Oh, it gives me a headache.
Oh, okay. Well, like I said, I've been a little out of the loop, but this week I will be back in the loop. In fact, tonight I am seeing Mission Impossible. What's the subtitle to Mission Impossible?
Oh, it's a Rogue Nation.
Yeah,
Rogue
something Nation. Like that, yeah.
That looks pretty good.
The time has come to dissolve the IMF. Now, I want you to choose your next words very carefully. Where is Hunt? Last I heard, he was tracking the syndicate.
Well, the trailer looks interesting. They really give Simon Pegg and Jeremy Renner as much screen time, if not more, than Mr. Cruz.
Oh, that's wow. But, well, that's good.
But, of course, they're showing off another crazy, insane stunt that Mr. Cruz did. In the last film, he was climbing the skyscraper in Abu Dhabi.
Dubai.
Dubai.
Abu Dhabi.
And here he's hanging onto the side of a plane that's rapidly taking off. We'll see if it plays as well as the last one.
But I will be reviewing that this Friday at wearemoviegeeks.com. So
this is the fifth in the series, I believe, right?
Yeah, it is.
Ah, so that's pretty amazing for a show that was on for a few years, but never was a huge cult.
No,
TV
it wasn't.
Shows.
No, I always enjoyed it, but I didn't think it was. It wasn't as big a success as it. It's become a cult thing.
Yeah, it's like a Star Trek or something like
right.
that.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Of course, that's Jim Phelps. Peter Graves was Jim Phelps. Remember in the very first one, Jim Phelps was played by John Voight?
Yeah.
But he was a villain.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, really?
Why did they make Jim Phelps a villain?
But then he ripped off a mask and it was Peter Graves.
Opening this Wednesday is Vacation.
You had a dream to take your family to Wally World. Never let that go.
What kind of a family are you?
We're the Griswolds, you piece of ass.
Not National Lampoon's Vacation. They've stripped the National Lampoon label off of it.
Yeah, they're not using the dear old magazine of our youth had to hide under the mattresses and such.
Yeah. Now, there was National Lampoon's Animal House, of course, and I think the National Lampoon connection was there was a writer. Do you remember his name?
Well, there was several. Well, the writers on National Lampoon's Animal House, of course, were Doug Kenny, who was a writer, and also Chris Miller.
That's who I was trying to think of. Doug Kenny. Doug Kenny also played Stork in Animal House.
Yes.
And then he died of he died in the desert.
Yeah. What are we supposed to do, you morons?
Didn't he have a St. Louis connection of some sort? Did he go to Wash U or something?
Well, actually, it was Harold Ramis, who also contributed to the screenplay.
And he was in a fraternity in at Washington University and based part of the screenplay on Floyd's.
But Harold's mostly known, I guess, for SCTV. I don't think he actually ever contributed anything to the Lampoon besides maybe doing a couple of bits on their old radio show, which I used to love to try to hear, to try to bring in on the old station, on the old wireless.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but Jim has seen this new version of. There was four vacation movies in the, I guess, in the 80s, and we've in the early 90s. I guess Las Vegas Vacation was maybe even mid 90s.
97, actually.
Okay,
yeah.
And now they've sort of rebooted the franchise. Chevy Chase played Clark Griswold, and he had his son named Rusty. Now Rusty is all grown up and is on vacation with his own family, and he is played by Ed Helms, and his wife is played by Christina Applegate. Jim, is the new vacation worth seeing?
I think it is. I certainly think it's a several steps above Vegas Vacation. I did not see the one that premiered on TV that was all about Cousin Eddie, which sometimes goes by the title of Christmas Vacation 2. Yeah. But, the vacation films are kind of odd. They're sort of the opposite of the Star Trek films. And with the Star Trek films, it seems like the even-numbered ones are the ones that are good, the odd-numbered ones are And I think it's vice versa. I think that the first vacation is strong. Mm-hmm. Christmas Vacation is fantastic. It's a new holiday classic. Mm-hmm. European, I'm not too keen on. And Vegas Vacation is hardly watchable. So you could say that this movie is kind of a sequel/reboot in that they're continuing on with these characters, but it's a completely different family. Mm-hmm. As Ed Helms' character mentions in the trailer, he says, oh, this will be a completely different vacation, and he elaborates in the film itself. Said there was a brother and a sister, now they're two brothers, completely different.
And he goes and visits Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo in one scene. Does Chevy have a bunch of a part?
No, it's
kind of
toward
a one scene.
Yeah, pretty much the one scene towards the end of the film. Not as big a part as Leslie Mann's daughter Audrey, and especially not as big a part as her husband, played by Thor himself, Chris Hemsworth, who's playing Curtis Stone, a TV weatherman down in the Dallas, Texas area. Mm-hmm. It's pretty entertaining. There's some good gags. It's written and directed by the guys that did the first Horrible Bosses, so if that gives you any indication. Mm-hmm. And they sneak in a lot of great cameos. Like I say, Chris Hemsworth is very funny in it. Ed Helms is funny. There's a scene in there, not giving too much away, where he's the gist of the film is he decides that they shouldn't go to their cabin in Michigan again, which they do all the time. Ed Helms' Rusty character lives in Chicago. He's a pilot for a little sort of pond jumper airline out of Midway. And he says, no, we're not going to go to Michigan. We're going to go to Wally World. And he's at one point, he's looking at old photos on his phone, and they have photos from each of the four films with four different actors playing Rusty.
That's funny.
That is funny. Great. Yeah. And he announces that we're going to do that. And, of course, the youngest son isn't that much into it. He is just a bad seed times 12. Yeah. He's lives to torment his older brother, who I found out later is the same young actor that played young Mo Howard in the Three Stooges movie. And I thought he was great in that. Yeah. And he also played one of Gwen Stacy's brothers in the two Andrew Garfield Spider-Man films.
Wasn't Anthony Michael Hall Rusty in one of the films?
He was in the first one. Yes. Okay, yeah. He and Dana Barron were Rusty and Audrey.
Yeah.
And so the two kids are terrific in it, and they decide, yes, we're going to go. In the original film, Clark Griswold gets ugly car.
Truckster, was it?
Yeah, family truckster, the Grand Queen Rustler family truckster or something. Yeah. And here he's rented the Tartan Prancer, which is one of the funniest movie cars maybe since the original Vacation or the Bluesmobile or even Jack Benny's Maxwell, if they want to go all the way back to that. He's got it's from a foreign country. He's got a remote control. He doesn't understand the little symbols on it. There's a muffin on it. There's somebody blowing a whistle. He doesn't get it at all. And when he presses something, the car does something completely unexpected. And it's one of the funnier bits in the film.
Remember the first one, they actually drove over the Eads Bridge and you saw the Gateway Arch. Yeah. Although I think they were heading west over the Eads Bridge, if I remember. But then they're in East St. Louis, which was obviously shot on a Hollywood studio, and it was just like everybody's cliche.
Taking hubcaps and things like
that. Cliche of what East St. Louis must look like, although probably not too far off the mark, actually.
Lock them up, as they said. But you do see them crossing over the state line in Missouri, but there's no scenes in St. Louis this time. But they're taking a weird route from Chicago to, I'm assuming that Wally World is somewhere in Southern California, so they're going on a very, very odd route there.
Yeah.
But it's funny. It's not the best comedy of the summer, but it's got more than enough left.
The trailer's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. They do give away too many gags in the trailer, but there's still plenty there. What really surprised me, at least as I recall from the original four films, Beverly D'Angelo didn't have a lot to do as Ellen Griswold besides sort of wring her hands and just kind of, get aggravated with Clark.
And take a nude shower.
That's true.
That's right, yes.
Here, Christina Applegate, and there's a sequence that they tease a little bit in the trailer where they visit her old college. Yeah. And it is one of the funniest scenes in the film, and she's doing some great slapstick, and it's terrific to see her really get in there and, get sort of down and dirty with the guys and do some really, really funny sight gags. Yeah, I would recommend the film. I think definitely for all fans of the Vacation films, and if you're looking for a nice comedy, you've seen Trainwreck already, you've seen Spy and all that stuff. Yeah, go take it in.
Mm-hmm. They gave me a bunch of Vacation stuff to give away at the Midnight Show over the weekend. They're really playing up the Wally World. Everything was Wally World. It was like the T-shirt for Vacation is just like a souvenir T-shirt from Wally World, and Wally World air fresheners I was giving out and things like that.
Yeah, they do have a lot more in Wally World in the first film. And, of course, the main reason they're wanting to go there is their new death-defying roller coaster, the Velociraptor.
Oh.
And basically a construct of CGI. They've taken, different aspects of different different rides. And it's pretty fun.
Good parody of the Velociraptor.
All right, so that opens Wednesday, the new Vacation. Jim recommends it. So good. And look for Jim's review at WeAreMovieGeeks.com. Another movie that it opens this week, opens Friday, is Woody Allen's new movie. Now, I'm a huge Woody Allen fan, and I think I have reviewed the past six Woody Allen movies for WeAreMovieGeeks.com, but I could not go to the screening. It was my daughter's 16th birthday.
That was more important, I think.
A little bit. According to my wife, that was more important than going to the screening at the Tivoli, and Jim couldn't go, so we sent Dane Marty. Well, good. Well, we're glad you were able to go, and you'll be reviewing it for WeAreMovieGeeks.com. This Friday, and we're on the 5-star system. Dane, how many stars would you give Irrational Man?
3.5.
I can't write. I can't breathe. I couldn't remember the reason for living, and when I did, it wasn't convincing.
Word around is your philosophy professor's got a bit of an alcohol problem.
Oh boy, that's just one of his problems.
It's not his greatest film, but then he's done some amazing movies.
Yeah,
but it's, I've heard through the grapevine that some people don't really appreciate it, but I thought it was better than his last film.
Yeah, his last film was Magic in the Moonlight. It wasn't particularly. Right. What's the premise of Irrational Man?
Well, a new professor comes to an Eastern college, and he's got quite a reputation for being a little out of his mind and drinking, and all the women like him a lot immediately. Mm-hmm. The dialogue, of course.
And he's played by Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix, yeah. Right.
Has Joaquin
right.
worked with Woody before? I don't think so.
Not that I can remember in his films, no. He's very good. I really liked him in The Master.
Oh, sure. He's
but,
a great actor.
But, he is a great.
A lot of movies.
Yes. I'm going to say something that's kind of probably shocking, but I thought he was probably the weakest element of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the dialogue, of course, is always very good.
Yeah.
And
I think Woody's probably stronger at writing female characters. I mean, look at all the actresses that have won Oscars for being in Woody Allen movies.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
starting with Diane Keaton and Diane Weist.
Right. Diane Weist won two.
Yeah, that's true. And Penelope Cruz won for a Woody. Mia Sorvino won for a Woody. Mm-hmm. Cate Blanchett won for a Woody. Am I leaving anyone out?
I think that about covers it. Yeah.
But he's very few actors. I guess Michael Caine won for a Woody.
Yeah, that's
I think
true.
That may be it as far as actors in Woodies.
Yeah,
it's a good film. Yeah. It's it starts out kind of black humor with some humor, but it's very dry, and then it becomes more of a thriller. Mm-hmm. And he's done, I guess, the last few years a slight suspense thriller, but with an element of philosophy and ethics and morals, obviously. Mm-hmm. It has very good dialogue and is very interesting to, as you leave the theater, to be thinking, hey, you know, is this something, was there an ethical part to this, or is it just that the one character is completely psychopathic?
But is it funny? Is it a comedy? I don't really know.
It's got chuckles throughout it.
Yeah.
I wasn't vomiting with laughter.
But is it like Match Point, which is pretty serious?
It's pretty serious. Well, it's serious. There's chuckles throughout it.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't call it a comedy, but then I wouldn't call it, it's not
completely
Hitchcockian either. It's almost, it flows along. What makes it very interesting is that the idea, obviously, he started out with this unusual college professor, and then kind of Woody thought about where it would go with this character and how he would deal with some of his problems.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, from what I understand, it owes a little bit to, besides Match Point, it owes a little bit to Crimes and Misdemeanors, too.
Well, Crimes and Misdemeanors was very funny, but it also had this murder element. But although, if you think about it, Crimes and Misdemeanors was kind of two stories.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. One was a comedy, and one was kind of a murder thriller. That's one of my favorite Woodies.
Oh yeah, that's a terrific one.
Yeah,
it's not humorous like Take the Money and Run or anything, or even Annie Hall. It's not brilliant like Annie Hall.
How about some of the actresses in it? I know Emma Stone and Parker Posey. How are they?
Well, Parker Posey is also outstanding in it, and Emma Stone is very good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she's going to win any Oscars for it. It's not the best Woody Allen film I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's certainly better than a lot of other movies that are probably out there right now or going to be out there.
It's an interesting that he releases his movies in the summer as well. We were just talking about Mr. Holmes. Why does Woody release his movies in the summer? But he always does.
Yeah. Well, I heard that Parker's signed up for his next film already. So,
oh, yeah?
So that's
what's the name of it? Do you know?
I don't know.
Nobody knows. He doesn't name his movies.
It's an untitled Woody Allen film.
Yeah.
He seems to, what's amazing, I don't know how old he is now, but that he keeps
He's 80. 80? He just turned 80. Or else he turns 80 this year.
Well, you know, my father's 84, and he's plugging along really heavily. Yeah. So, 80 is not 80's, the end of the world.
80's the new 40.
That's right.
I don't know. Maybe the new 60. I don't know.
He keeps on, Woody Allen keeps on putting them out. And you know, I was a little surprised to hear a lot of people did, or some people didn't like it, because it's got a lot of interesting elements to it. It's mostly acting. It's acting and writing.
Well, tell me about Parker Posey and the character that she plays.
She plays another professor that's somewhat lonely in the movie and is looking to maybe move to Europe. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, she has a... She's just she's very intrigued with the new man, a new professor in town.
Yeah, and then Emma Stone plays a student who has an affair with the old professor. Gosh, what a stretch for Woody.
That's right. Even though Mr. Phoenix does not, his character really is trying to say, no, no, I don't want to have any kind of affair or relationship with you. Mm-hmm. But it does end up happening.
Well, good.
Of course.
I can't wait to see it.
It's great. It's great.
Opens Friday. Dane will be reviewing it at We Are Movie Geeks.
Yes, please read it.
.com. Irrational Man opens Friday. That's Woody Allen's new movie. 80-year-old Woody Allen. Good for him. He puts out a movie every summer. And, of course, it got us to thinking about Woody and how much we like Woody and our favorite Woody Allen movies. Woody Allen was born in 1935 and started writing really, really young. He was, I think, 19 or 20 when he started writing for comedians.
Well, like Sid Caesar, I think he was one of the... You know,
he was on your show of shows, wasn't he? He wrote for it.
Was part of the staff, but not as big a member as maybe Mel Brooks or Neil Simon. But yeah, he was part of the group back then,
And would show up on the Ed Sullivan Show and the Johnny Carson Show, or the Tonight Show, I guess.
Yeah, I just picked up a DVD set of the best of the Password TV show for the game show from the 60s, and he's on one of those.
Woody Allen is?
Really? Yeah, he was on that. He was on What's My Line several times as a panelist, and I've Got a Secret. So, I think he even contributed to Candid Camera.
Yeah, he did.
And he was on with William F. Buckley on Dick Cavett.
So he was a stand-up comic and wrote comedy material for other comedians, and then became...
He was at Gaslight Square.
Yeah, became a playwright. His first play was Don't Drink the Water.
Yes, which I was in. Oh, yeah. I was in the play in high school.
I thought you were going to say you were in the movie, which means...
No. I don't think I'd even want to say that, actually.
Well, that was the first...
That was the first
movie he was credited with writing, and the movie was made in 69, and had Jack G. Gleason. Have you ever seen that, Jim?
Mm-hmm. It's been a long time since I see it. Estelle Parsons, I believe, is in it. So this came out after What's New Pussycat? I think he contributed a little bit to that, didn't he?
I think it was before What's New Pussycat.
Oh, yeah, it did. Okay.
Yeah, it was 69, I think Pussycat. What's New Pussycat was...
I thought that was 67 or something.
You're right.
Okay. Then I think he contributed a little bit to the script. I know he's a co-star of Casino Royale.
Yeah.
Right. I love Casino Royale.
Yeah, he played Jimmy Bond.
That's right. Yeah. That was wonderful. Yeah, I think the play Don't Drink the Water is more fun to be in than it is actually to watch. I don't think he'd really... I mean, he ended up becoming just phenomenal in his plays and his movies, but there's... I don't know. It's not his best thing.
Yeah, I think he was unhappy with the film version.
But didn't he? Didn't Woody star in a TV movie version of it? I think about 20 years ago.
About. Yeah. I thought it was like 10 or maybe.
Oh, I think. Well, Michael.
2001 was it?
Yeah, maybe. Well, we'll have to look that up. But I know that Mayim Bialik played his daughter in it, I believe, who's now on Big Bang Theory, but is forever Blossom.
Yeah.
So he was behind the scenes and writing quite a bit there in the 60s, besides doing a stand-up on different venues.
Yeah, but Don't Drink the Water was his first play that was made into a film, and the second play that was made into a film was Played Against Sam, which was made in a film in 72, which he starred in, but he didn't direct. It was Herbert Ross directed that one.
Yeah, yeah.
And Diane Keaton was in that.
Yeah, was that maybe his first first thing he did on screen with Diane Keaton?
It was the first thing he did with Diane Keaton, yeah. It wasn't his first movie, of course. We mentioned Casino Royale, which I think it had like 10 writers and then 5 directors. And
including John Huston.
Yeah.
My mom was in the hospital, and she called me up on the phone. She was under, you know, a lot of medication and everything for many years ago. She called me up and said, "Dane, I'm watching this movie. It's got Peter Sellers, Woody Allen,
David Niven.
It's all over the place. I've never seen anything like it. It's weird. I think maybe it's my medication that I'm on." I kind of like it, actually.
I do now. I think it was probably considered a big mess when it first came out back in 67, but I think it's aged sort of in an interesting way.
Uh-huh.
I've got the DVD.
Nice psychedelia.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And a bouncy Burt Bacharach score.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
The Look of Love.
A very expensive film.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A lot of beautiful women, Ursula Andress, Jacqueline Bisset, and that British, Lavi. Yeah.
The British girl, what's...
Joanna Pettit?
That's very good, yes.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah.
And Woody Allen is Jimmy Bond.
Yes,
so long, suckers.
And, of course, What's Up, Tiger Lily was a Japanese movie that Woody acquired in the 60s and rewrote comedic dialogue for. And that used to play at the Varsity a lot back in the 70s. That was kind of a cult midnight movie for a long time.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's somewhat forgotten now.
It's an egg salad so great, y'all plots!
But really, the first Woody Allen movie that we think of is Take the Money and Run, 1969.
Does this look like gub or gun?
Gun, see? But what's ab mean?
Act, A-C-T, act natural. Please put $50,000 into this bag. Act natural. Is that...
Oh, I see. This is a holdup.
Yes.
May I see your gun?
Brilliant,
where, you know, where he starred and wrote and played the sort of nebbish Woody that we all know and love.
Yes.
And that's a funny movie.
Yeah, it is a very funny movie.
I've shown that at my Super 8 show several times.
The 20-minute version plays
it's
great.
It's amazing, yeah. It doesn't have the scene where he's playing the cello in the marching band. And
having to pick up his chair.
He was having to pick up his chair and run and sit down again, and then the band goes by him. Oh, that's... That's a funny movie. And then he goes and robs the bank with the gun, with the note. And they're saying,
right.
What
is it, gub?
I have a gub. What is this word
he
here?
Has to get other people. The other bank people won't even agree.
Everybody's
on
looking at his note. Just one funny scene after another.
Right.
The warden sentences him to a week in the hot box with an insurance agent. funny stuff.
So that sort of put him on the map. You know, then we had Bananas. Where it was a sort of a spoof of, I guess, the Cuba crisis and Castro.
It's got Sly Stallone as thug on the subway.
That's right.
Hassling Woody.
Louise Lasser.
Yeah, Louise Lasser. Now, Louise Lasser was actually Woody Allen's second wife.
Yeah.
And she was in several of his films, actually. She was in Bananas and Take the Money and Run. She had a small part. And she was also in Everything You Wanted to Know About Sex. Woody Allen, of course, also had romantic relationships with his co-stars, Diane Keaton and Mia Farrow. Uh-huh. And but he didn't marry either of those. Although he did marry Mia Farrow's adopted daughter, Sun Yi. But they've been married now. Woody and Sun Yi have been married for almost 20 years. So, there's this whole, I don't like Woody Allen. Why don't you like Woody Allen? Oh, because he's a pervert who married his daughter. Well, there's a lot more to the story than that. And if you're going to dislike an artist because of their private life, then you're going to have to dislike Charlie Chaplin. You're going to have to dislike Pablo Picasso. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. You have to separate their life and their politics from their art.
I highly recommend a documentary from a few years back called Wild Man Blues. It really gives you an inside, interesting look at that relationship.
Yeah, and she really takes care of him.
Oh, yeah, she's
really
running the show.
You know, I think I find their marriage charming in sort of a way. I know there's this weird 40-year age difference, and the whole thing with her being adopted by Andre Previn and Mia Farrow is slightly creepy, but, you know, it seems like they're happy. They've adopted two daughters together. And
I'm not going to throw rocks at them or anything like that.
Yeah. But back to his filmography, you know, then he did things like Sleeper and Love and Death, wonderful comedy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Sleeper is just, it's amazing how much that he sort of prophesized in that film has kind of come to pass.
Right.
It's kind of like Network,
Exactly.
Everything you always wanted to know about sex.
Oh, yes.
With
Burt Reynolds.
Is a sperm, wasn't he?
He was in charge of erection there.
Oh, that's
the human body there. They imagine like the Star Trek bridge.
Yeah.
And Tony Randall's the captain in it. Yeah. And Burt's just in charge of that department.
That's a funny movie. Lynn Redgrave and and of course, who can forget Gene Wilder is the sheep lover.
Yeah,
that's the funniest segment.
Yeah, I think that's maybe the only. You know, Gene's mostly known for working with Mel Brooks. I think that's the only time he worked with Woody, and it's fantastic. Yeah. I wish they'd have done a few more projects together. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's got a wonderful horror film parody with John Carradine.
John Carradine, the giant brassiere or the giant breast, and that's how they wrangle it at the end. They put it in a giant brassiere. Starred in the front in 1976. I think Herbert Ross directed that one as well, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. With it was him and Zero Mostel, and I recall the end credits. It would list the actors and tell you how long their blacklist lasted in the 50s. You know, Zero was blacklisted, and several of the other actors.
Great movie. Then in 1977, which really came his most famous movie. It won Best Picture. It won Best Director. It won Best Screenplay. It won Best Actress, and that, of course, is Annie Hall.
I love what you're wearing.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Oh well, it's this tie is a present from Grammy Hall.
Who? Grammy Hall?
Yeah, my Grammy.
What did you grow up in a Norman Rockwell painting?
Still most people's favorite Woody. It's probably his most famous film.
It really has the humor, but it's poignant. Yeah. And it's
creatively made. You know,
it's very well structured.
Yeah, a lot of times I complain about movies that are underwritten and over-directed. You have a lame screenplay, so you put in all this cutesy direction and cutesy camera works. Earl and the Dying Girl is a perfect example. But I'd say Woody Allen's movies are almost, you know, overwritten and underdirected. He never draws attention to his directorial style. He's kind of like Clint Eastwood in that way. He's very economical.
Right.
I mean, occasionally he'll break the fourth wall and talk to the camera. But he doesn't really get cutesy in his direction. He did a little bit in Annie Hall.
He had a little animation in there, too.
Yeah, I was flipping the dial the other day at our public television station was running it, and I just sat and watched it for 20 minutes, and it's just, it holds up
well. It really does, as far as relationships go and everything.
For a film that's, you know, close to 40 years old, it's just amazing.
Yeah, but it did beat Star Wars for Best Picture.
Well, I could see why that
happened. I still think it deserves it. I think it's a better film than Star Wars.
They're great on different areas.
As my old friend would say, it's like apples and oranges. It's so hard to, you know.
But still, they were up for Best Picture, and one won and one didn't.
That's right.
And then Manhattan, one of his very, very best movies, was his follow-up to that as well, and that had a cute young Muriel Hemingway as a teenager who he was having an affair with. Right.
Beautiful cinematography.
Oh, yeah, black and white.
George Gershwin music. Yeah.
Nice shout-out to that film in Trainwreck that's in theaters right now. Very funny sequence.
Well, and she even says, I think this is where Woody Allen met Sun Yi.
Yeah.
And that's the Queensboro Bridge, which is actually on the poster for Manhattan.
That's right.
He and Diane Keaton sitting on that same exact bench that... Amy Schumer is doing something we can't say to Bill Hader on that same bench.
Yeah, Meryl Streep has a nice role in Manhattan also.
Yeah.
Yes,
this is lesbian, angry lesbian ex-wife.
Oh, yeah.
Stardust Memories was kind of a spoof of Fellini's 8½, 1980.
Right. I thought it was, it's grown on me. It's an interesting movie.
Yeah, Sharon Stone had a small part in that.
She's on a train or something?
Right, the mystery girl or something?
Yeah, she's kind of like what Suzanne Summers was in American Graffiti.
Right.
Midsummer Night's Sex Comedy. I think that may be the only Woody Allen movie I have not seen on this
list. That might be his first one with Mia Farrow, thinking, right?
Probably,
That's a pretty entertaining. It's a little bit of a trifle, but it's pretty entertaining. It's got some nice supporting roles in it by Julie Haggerty, who's in that also, and Mia Farrow. So it's pretty entertaining.
Yeah. And an early mock doc was Zelig in 1983. Wonderful movie.
Oh, yeah. I think that's just a amazing movie.
That's another one that holds up. I mean, you just catch something different every time you see it.
Oh, it's very funny.
And the way the old images of historic events were in Woody were kind of intermeshed together was very cool.
Kind of ahead of its time.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. They match the film stocks and all that. It's very, very entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that one. Broadway, Danny Rose. That's a good one.
Very funny. Mm-hmm. Very
that was
funny.
Cool.
Purple Rose of Cairo, Jeff Daniels, and Mia Farrow.
You want to go to the movies tonight? That there's an early show.
I can't.
How come?
All the guys are coming over in a minute.
Again?
That's where it's almost like Buster Keaton or whatever. They go into the movie. Or
Sherlock
something.
Jr.,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then Hannah and Her Sister is one of his top five. I think most people would agree.
Awesome.
It's a good thing we had a talented daughter.
But I can only hope that she was mine. With you as her mother, her father could be anybody in Actors Equity.
That one in Best Screenplay. No writer has been nominated for more screenplays than Woody Allen.
Yeah, he's very good, his acting in Hannah and Her Sisters. He's got a very interesting character in that. I love when he's actually kind of playing suicide and then goes into a theater and watches Duck Soup.
Yeah.
And that gives him a reason to live. I was like, you know.
And then he switches to Christianity and goes out and buys a jar of Miracle Whip
and Wonder Bread.
My favorite line in the whole movie is, and I say this all the time, is when Julie Kavner says, "You were such a hypochondriac, like that time you thought you had cancer." And he goes, "Well, yeah, I had that spot on my back." And she goes, "It was on your shirt."
Yeah, that is the dialogue in that. It's great.
Yeah, it is.
And also Max von Sydow.
That's right. He was sort of spoofing his Bergman characters.
Yeah, I wonder if that's the only time Mia worked with her mother, Maureen Sullivan.
Yeah, Max von Sydow has having an affair with Barbara Hershey, and she tells him to lighten up. Lighten up.
Well, he thinks Jesus is going to come back and see what everything has been going on in the world. He's never going to stop throwing up.
So everybody loves Hannah and Sisters. Radio Days, that's a really fun movie.
Oh, that's a cute film.
September is one of these dramas sort of like interiors. And that's loosely based on the who was the movie star in the 40s whose daughter shot.
Lana Turner.
Yeah, it's loosely based on... Have you ever seen that one, September?
No, I haven't.
It's based on Lana Turner, and I forget who the actress is, but Mia Farrow plays her daughter, and she had shot... She had taken
the blame for shooting
the gangster.
And that's what
part of September is about. Mm-hmm. New York Stories, that's an anthology where Scorsese and Coppola... But Woody's segment was by far the most entertaining.
He doesn't like it.
What do you mean I don't like it? It's fine.
Huh. He thinks it's too Jewish.
What does that mean?
You know, his name is not Sheldon Mills. It's Milstein.
She knows, Mom. She knows. I told her.
Be quiet. I'm talking to her.
Oh, right. Yeah. I had Mae Questel.
Yes, and she was the voice of?
Olive Oil and Betty
and
Boop.
Betty Boop.
But yeah, Mae Questel, Aunt Bluebell from the TV commercials.
Yeah. But she's really funny, and she plays his overbearing mother in New York Stories. But then she turns into a giant.
Yeah, talking to him from the clouds. Or nagging him.
I need to see that one again. I don't think I've seen that one since it was new. Crimes and Misdemeanors, one of my favorite Woody Allen.
Another great one,
brilliant.
Yes.
Wonderful Martin Landau.
Martin Landau's phenomenal in that.
You don't think God sees?
God is a luxury I can't afford.
And Alan Alda.
Yeah.
Playing a jerk.
It's great. Yeah. If it bends, it's funny. If it breaks, it's not funny. And then Woody Allen's making a documentary about him because he's a TV producer, and then he keeps cutting in the shots of Mussolini.
Yes. And a donkey eventually.
Yeah. It bends, it's funny. If it breaks, it's not funny.
A great film. I love that.
Yeah. And Landau was nominated for an Oscar. He should have won, but he ended up winning, I think, a couple years later for Ed Wood.
Yeah, he was
on a roll there, Landau. He was also nominated for Tucker, I believe, the year before that.
That was sort of his sort of resurgence.
Yeah.
That helped start it. Kickstart it.
He's still around. He's got to be up there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he has a little brief cameo in Entourage a few months ago. Yeah.
All right.
He's still hanging.
Friend of James Dean's.
Really? I didn't
know. A cartoonist, too.
Oh, okay.
Was he really?
Yes, he was an assistant.
I love cartoonists.
The Gump Family comic strip.
We do love Woody Allen, and we can just talk forever about his films. Shadows and Fog, that was sort of an interesting film. Husbands and Wives, great movie.
Right.
Nominated for that. Judy Davis.
Judy Davis,
yeah. Oh, she's so good in that movie. And Liam Neeson is in there.
Sidney Pollack is great in it.
Yeah, he is. And he has an affair with that young actress. I can't think of her name. Super sexy gal. It was... Oh, well.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of her. But, they're having this affair. Great movie.
How many films has he done?
I want to say 43 or 44, somewhere along there.
Amazing.
Mighty Aphrodite
was
a great one. And Mia Sorvino is a porn star prostitute, and her porn name was... anybody remember? Her porn name was Judy Cum. My favorite porn name. And that's a funny movie. Michael Rapaport.
A Greek chorus in that.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Yeah, I think, wasn't F. Murray Abraham part of that Greek chorus?
I think so, yeah.
Everyone Says I Love You. That was a musical. And I like that movie, too. That movie's great. Goldie Hawn is hilarious in that movie. Remember, she's the liberal that wants to reform the prisons by putting curtains on their cells.
Ed Norton's in it. Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, and...
Julia Roberts.
Everybody that's an actor or actress wants to work with him, you know?
And Tobey Maguire, who gets hit on the head and becomes a conservative Republican. Deconstructing Harry. That's a good one. Is that the one where Robin Williams is out of focus?
I've lost
my focus, so he's actually literally out of focus.
And Woody goes to hell in that one, I think, doesn't he?
Yeah. Sweet and Low Down was Samantha Morton was nominated.
Yeah.
Like we say, it's amazing how many Oscar nominees are in these Woody Allen movies. And Sean Penn was nominated.
Yeah, that's right.
For
that's
Best
right.
Actor. He played a guitar player, kind of a gypsy guitarist who, there's Django I forget Django.
Django Reinhardt.
Yeah, right, yeah, and he's the most famous. So he spends the whole movie just living up to Django Reinhardt's reputation. And then there's even a scene where they are making a mummy movie at Universal. Remember that?
Yeah. And his wife gets involved with that somehow. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, that's a good one. I love Small Time Crooks. I watch that movie all the time. It's got Elaine May. You ever seen that one?
Mm-hmm. I've seen just bits of it.
He and Tracy Ullman play husband and wife, but they want to rob this bank, so they open this cookie store next to the bank so they can drill under the cookie store and go rob the bank. Well, the cookie store just takes off and becomes world famous cookies, so he becomes a millionaire by his wife being this cookie chef. And Michael Rapaport, again, is in that. It's so funny. And Elaine May plays their partner in crime, too. Great one, Small-Time Crooks. Yeah. I'm going to go through the rest of these pretty quickly. Hollywood Ending, that's where he plays the blind director.
Right.
I have to see that one because I don't remember much about that one. Anything else had Jason Big and Christina Ricci.
Yeah.
That was kind of a minor Woody, I guess, because I don't remember much about that one either. Yeah. But then he was back in fine form with Match Point, which was a
Match Point was very good.
Again, nominated for a screenplay. I think Woody was nominated. Has been nominated 26 times.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is.
And has showed up none.
He has shown up one time at the Oscars, and that was in March of 2002 after the World Trade Center bombings. He came out and he said, just because New York's had this attack, let's not stop filming movies here. So then there was a montage of, he basically introduced a montage of films shot in New York.
Yeah.
But you're right, he doesn't show up when he wins because he has a gig playing the clarinet on Monday night. So at least that's what he says. I think he just thinks it's all kind of silly. Then he started working a lot with ScarJo. He did three films with ScarJo in a row. She was in Match Point, of course, and Scoop. Mm-hmm. Scoop is a pretty funny movie.
Oh, Hugh Jackman's in there, right?
Yeah. And Vicky Cristine Barcelona was the 30th. So he made three in a row with ScarJo and Rebecca Hall. I think that may have been the first movie I saw Rebecca Hall in.
Yeah.
And I love Whatever Works.
Let me tell you right off, okay? I'm not a likable guy. Checkmate, you little putzer.
Hey!
I was considered for a Nobel Prize in Physics. I didn't get it.
Mom, that man's talking to himself.
Come on, Destin.
This is not the feel-good movie of the year. So if you're one of those idiots who needs to feel good, go get yourself a foot massage.
I wish I did. Because I love Larry David on Curb Your Enthusiasm, but I just found the Evan Rachel Wood character just so annoying. I couldn't watch the rest of it.
Oh, really? You didn't watch the whole thing?
No, because her fake, hick accent just got on my nerves.
You should give it another chance.
Much.
It's really funny. I mean, Ed Begley Jr. and who's the actress?
Oh, Patricia Clarkson.
Yeah, they play her parents and. Yeah. And then he's a closeted homosexual, and then she's married to Larry David. Larry David's perfect as the sort of the Woody Allen surrogate. Near the end, she meets a young, handsome man her age, played by Henry Cavill from Superman. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh.
And he's got his British accent in that film.
Okay,
he's a Brit. Midnight in Paris won him the best original screenplay. I think he's won three of those.
I think the best thing about that is the guy that plays Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah, Corey Stoll, who's the villain on in Ant-Man.
Ant-Man.
Yeah,
yes. That was one of his acclaimed films, and that was just 3 years ago.
If I was to tell you that I spent last night with Ernest Hemingway and Scott Fitzgerald, what would you say?
Is that what you were dreaming about, your literary idol?
It's a magical kind of film. I don't think it's necessarily his best, but it's also it's got a lot of good things going in it, and it's very entertaining. The photography is very good.
But it made a lot of money, though. They were really surprised at how well it did at the box office.
To Rome with Love was the last movie he was in, and that was pretty good. It was Alec Baldwin. Blue Jasmine, though, was my favorite movie of 2013. That won the Oscar for Cate Blanchett, and Sally Hawkins was nominated. Just an amazing.
And great performances from a couple of comics, Louis C.K. and Andrew Dice Clay.
The Dice Man, of course.
Which I was surprised about, but he was very good in that.
He was amazing, Magic the Moonlight and the new one, Irrational Man, and I'm sure he'll be cranking out movies till he keels over, and we love Woody. He's one of our favorites. And
yes, he's phenomenal. We do love him.
Yeah, so something to look forward to this weekend is Irrational Man. Next week, we'll be back with a review of Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. Also, this weekend at the Tivoli is The Room, starring Tommy Wiseau. And Tommy Wiseau will be there in person. I talked about that a couple weeks ago. You do not want to miss The Room, but we're going to have to sign off for now. I'm Tom Stockman.
Dane Marty.
Jim Batts.
So listen to us again next week at We Are Movie Geeks, the podcast. We are now signing off.
Adios.
Black leather, rock. Black leather, ta-ta-ta. Black leather.
Oh, nice, Dave. Hello, darling. Hi.
top. Black leather, hip, hip, hip. I got that feeling, black leather rock.